What is a home mortgage and how does it work? Will the recession happen again? What's new in home lending in 2018? Stay tuned. In the first of this two-part series, I speak with Stacia Weishart of Home Street Bank all about home mortgages. You're listening to the Close to Home podcast, the lifestyle and real estate podcast centered in Seattle. I'm Brennan Klaus, and I'm a broker at Avenue Properties. Hi, nice to have you.
Thanks, Brennan. It's so great to be here.
Yeah, I'm super happy today to introduce Stacia Weishart, who is a loan officer at Home Street Bank here in Seattle. And you actually work on both sides of the water, but I will let you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are and what you've done, what you're doing today.
Okay, sounds good. Brennan, thank you so much for inviting me. Your office is gorgeous, and I'm very excited to be here today. My name is Stacia Weishart. I'm going to give you my NMLS number because legally I have to do this.
Perfect.
It's 148-4462. Like Brennan said, I'm a loan officer with Home Street Bank. I've been in and out of the industry collectively for about 9 years. I am a Seattleite, though born and raised in this area. And like Brennan says, I work on both sides of the water, even the other side of the big water, like Kitsap.
The big water.
The big water. So east side, west side, and kind of all over the Seattle and extending areas.
Great. Yeah. And where did you grow up in Seattle, Stacia?
Well, so I say Seattle for all of those who don't know about Tacoma, but I grew up south of Tacoma, but I still call myself a Seattleite. So I grew up in the city of Lakewood, Washington.
Fair.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And I'm super excited to have you here today because we share a lot of similar values and experience. So I'd love you to tell our audience a little bit about how you got into lending and why you chose to come back to lending, because I know you've been both in and out of the industry.
Yeah. So when I bought my first home, it was almost 2 decades ago. I was a single person buying my first home, very excited about the process. And my real estate agent was non-existent, which is very sad. And my loan officer was even worse. And so I had a pretty rough experience. And after I closed on my first house, it was a competitive market too, so pre-inspections and all that stuff. I finally bought a home, and I was very distraught about the whole experience, so I decided to move into the lending industry just to educate myself. My intention was to go in for 6 months and get out, because I knew that wasn't the last home that I was going to buy.
Yeah.
And I felt like the process was so great to me that I wanted to understand it. That 6 months actually turned into 6 years of my life, running a joint venture for one of the largest builders in the state of Washington's time and one of the largest banks in the United States. I lived through parts of the downturn, as we call it. Back then, it was the recession in the early 2000s. If nobody's seen the movie The Big Short, I encourage you guys to go all watch that because it kind of depicts what happened back then. Be able for you to understand why the market will never do what it did back then because of the lending practices that are in place today. So we have a lot of stability, which is good. And then I went back into tech, and I had left my job at Microsoft when I bought my first house, which is where Brennan worked too. So we're both Microsoft people.
Yes, ex-Microsofties.
Ex-Microsofties. And so I went back into tech and worked for some startups and helped launch some startups. I had my children much later in life. And as I had my kids, I was like, this should be the most joyous time of my life. My husband and I worked. My life was wonderful and is wonderful. But I was really not fulfilled in my job. And I had a business coach. I went to my business coach and said, I just don't want to get out of bed every day and do this stuff in the software world anymore. And she said, let's go through this process, which was a 90-day intentional process. I came out on the flip side of that process that I was happiest when I was a loan officer. And that's because it relates to my personal why, which is I build relationships based on trust so that everybody I love, like, and know is safe. And how we bring that into our business every day is by making sure that people, what I call the experience, delightful refuge around the most sizable, emotional, and financially impactful purchase of our lives. And so that's what I do. I love my job. I love what I do. I finally feel like I've found in my life the place where I'm meant to be. And it's because I'm so passionate about making sure my clients totally understand the tip of the iceberg that they see as relevant to the mortgage process.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I absolutely love your story. Not only because I love Delightful Refuge, and I think that's a great way to explain sort of how we want our customers to feel when they go through the process of buying a home or refinancing a home, and often they don't feel that way, which is very sad. And I also love just that you were unfulfilled, because it's very similar to how I felt, and you went and found something that fulfilled you, and I feel very similarly. And so I just love that story, and I love hearing it. And I think it's really important because it speaks to why you do your job and why clients like to work with you and how they can relate to you, because you're actually doing something that you really love. So I think that's great.
Yeah. And
I love the story.
It is great. And it's when I first met you, Brennan, your story was really inspirational to me, because we are so similar from where we came from in the tech world.
Yeah.
And then being able to apply some of those practices to our businesses so that our clients have a really unique experience, I think is additional value that you don't get when you just walk into a bank or maybe work with a broker who, has been doing this for their career, because you bring a different approach to things.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you mentioned something about the downturn and about the 2008 recession, 2007, 2008. I think maybe a good place for us to start would be talk a little bit, or help people understand a little bit about why that will not happen again in the lending world. Because I think a lot of clients come to me, it's happened, even in the past few days, where people have asked, what's happening in the market, and is there a bubble? Are we going to see the same thing that happened in 2008? So tell us a little bit about why that won't happen again, in your opinion.
So what happened in the early 2000s was, as I describe it to clients when I meet with everybody, I kind of walk through this history, because I think it's relevant to decision processes around buying property today. So if you can think about that time, and you can think about it as a foundation, what happened in the late 1990s was the dot-com boom, right? So people started making more money than they ever had been. Technology just totally exploded. And because of all that money that people were making, liquidity had to loosen up on the secondary market. The secondary market being the stock market, the investments, securities, all of that, right? So what is part of that is the mortgage-backed securities. And historically speaking, there's FHA, VA, Fannie Mae, and Freddie Mac. And then back then, there were a bunch of small, what we call subprime investors. These are the people or the groups that the institutions get the money from, right? So when you get a mortgage, what happens is you'll write your checks to ABC Bank every month after you close. Once your loan is closed, it is basically sold back on the secondary market to the investors, and that money is invested, right, in the securities. And so when the dot-com boom happened, liquidity had to happen. All these little subprime investors started popping up, and people who maybe had declared bankruptcy 3 months prior were getting mortgages. So they started to loosen up the requirements around mortgage lending. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are the two largest conventional mortgage-backed securities in the United States. FHA is a government-backed program, which always has been in existence since mortgage lending started, and so is VA for those of us, those that have served our country. And so what those institutions did, specifically Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the conventional lending, is they said, oh my gosh, there's all these little investors popping up who are lending on mortgages, and so we need to loosen our guidelines too. So as people started making more money, guidelines started to loosen because people started buying more property. People could walk in and they'd say, put 20% down. There was these programs called stated loans where somebody could say, I make this much money. They had good credit history. I make this much money. I'm putting this much down. And then they'd get a loan and we close it, very quickly, let's say 2 weeks or
right.
a week.
Yeah.
And that was allowable. That happened. So if we go back to that, my analogy of the foundation, you can think of that time as a foundation. Well, the foundation was hollow on the inside. So as people were buying properties, right, the inside of the foundation was mortgage-backed securities. And because it was a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it was based on lending practices that weren't solid. Today, you have to give so much information, and there was a big law that was put in place after the recession, which I'll mention in a minute, that protect consumers. So when the market crashed, it crashed hard. And what happened when the market crashed, and if you watch that movie, The Big Short, there's a great scene where he's in his office, and he's listening to rock music, and everybody thinks he's insane, and he's got these two computer screens up, and he's looking at the spreadsheets, and what he's seeing the buyback rate happening. What that means is when you write your checks to ABC Bank, you won't know any different, your loan is sold back on the secondary market. When people default or they stop making their payments, the bank has to buy back that loan and put it on their profit and loss. And now they have an asset that's not performing. And then they go through the short sale and foreclosure process, which is why it took so long to get through all those short sales and foreclosures. We're just seeing the end of that happening now today. And then banks went bankrupt. The bailout happened. The federal government stepped in. Everybody's heard about the bailout. Every institution had to participate equally based on various parameters. And then the federal government came in and bought Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac out of distress. And now they're owned and operated by our federal government. So our conventional lending is owned and operated by our federal government. FHA and VA have always been government-backed programs. Those subprime investors have, for the most part, dissipated. And now we have jumbo investors that play on the market today. What also happened after the recession is a law called the Dodd-Frank Act. And the Dodd-Frank Act is a great law. It was implemented to protect consumers so that there are fair lending practices implemented in place today.
Got it. So a few things changed, just to summarize. You know, the federal government took over ownership of those mortgage-backed loans.
Correct.
And there are now more regulations in the marketplace.
A ton of regulations that protect consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's all about protection for the consumers. It's a great law. Lots of what I call them sort of stopgaps or checkpoints so the consumers understand what they're getting into. Those stated loan programs, they really don't exist today as it relates to conventional financing. You have to provide a lot of data and information to your lender to get your mortgage.
Right. So there's no longer those days of people walking in the door off the street, to give an analogy, and just getting a loan for $300,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. And so I guess that brings us into what is new in lending in 2018? What's happening? What should people be aware of?
Gosh, there's a lot of things that are happening. So the biggest thing is that Fannie Mae, what they do every year, and last year was the first year since 2006, they raised the loan limits, and specifically in the King County area. And so there are conventional loan limits that are set. Once you go beyond these conventional loan limits, you enter into a jumbo category. And that's what I just mentioned previously, those jumbo investors. Jumbo investors have very specific rules because they're little tiny investors that play on the market, right? Or it's a product that's retained by the institution and put on their profit and loss for very specific type of buyers. But if we talk about conventional lending, the biggest thing that I think is going to be impactful specifically for our market is the increase in the loan limits. So the loan limits were capped at it's called a high balance conforming loan limit of 592,250 for 2017. And in 2018, we're going to go up to 667, which is awesome. So $667,000. So that gives a lot of our buyers more buying power. And as you know, in this market, prices in the King County, Snohomish, and even parts of Pierce County area, even Kitsap, are going up that high.
Got it. And so give us an example. If John walked in the door before these limits were available or increased, what was his loan limit then?
So in 2017, John's loan limit, not purchase price, but loan limit was $592,250. In King County, in Snohomish County, and Pierce County, the loan limit goes up to $667,000. Loan limit, not purchase price.
Right.
So depending on how much money the borrower can put down, and in those sort of high balance areas, the lowest amount of money people can put down is 5%. Most people think they have to come in with 20% down, and that's a big misconception. So for a lot of our first-time homebuyers, they're able to go in and buy a house and put 5% down if that works with their, you know, their personal financing.
Right. Got it. And when does that increase take place? Has it already?
Yeah. Well, the increase has been announced. We can close those loans today if we needed to. The loans will be in effect in January 1st, 2018.
Okay. Awesome. So what we know, the loan amounts are increasing, which is great for buyers, especially in this area as prices continue to go up. What else is happening in lending in general that people should be aware about if they're thinking about buying a home this year, they're thinking about refinancing their own home? What should they know about?
I think one of the biggest things is that there's a lot of talk, you know, on our administration at an administrative level federally about causing long-term inflation. And so what spurs long-term inflation is the rise of the Fed rate or the prime rate. That is not the first, that is not mortgage interest rates, first mortgage interest rates, but it has a bearing impact over our marketplace. And so what I believe is that, you know, that our rates are historically low. Average interest rates in the United States are 7 to 8%. So rates will eventually go up again. And so as buyers are entering the marketplace, really capitalizing on the low interest rates, because money is still very inexpensive. And so as money is inexpensive, and in a market where we see great appreciation, which we're so lucky to be in this market, as rates go up, buying power goes down, right? Because that impacts the person's debt to income ratios. And so what we, when we see and we hear about talking about rates potentially moving upwards and upward trajectory, mortgage rates, you want to make sure that you're really looking at the opportunity that's present in front of you. And by opportunity, I mean rate and then also price of the house and also your down payment. So how you're leveraging all of those components to get yourself into a property or move up house or whatever your goals are.
Got it. So people need to really be aware of all three. Price, interest rate is what you're saying, and then down payment.
Absolutely. And I think in terms of price in the real estate market, you're the expert in this field, you know, there are projections that prices are going to continue to go up.
Right.
And so as prices go up, and that happens, you know, every month as inventory is limited or available or what's happening in the marketplace, that is something that you have to, that's kind of an immediacy factor, right? Just like interest rates, you got to kind of figure those two things out first and then figure out what your down payment is, where your assets are, and being able to capitalize at the right time based on your needs.
Yeah, absolutely. You can get more money at certain times because the interest rate fluctuates.
Yep.
And so, especially in 2018, I would say, if you haven't entered the market yet, it's still a great time based on the interest rate. Is that correct?
Yes, I would say it's still a good time to buy. Again, based on historical averages of interest rates.
Got it. Perfect. So my last question for you, Stacia, is what is your favorite room in your house?
So I live in Northeast Seattle, and my favorite room is my living room. And it's my favorite room because I love to sort of snuggle up on my chair. I get up in the morning at like 5 o'clock, 4:30, depending on what day it is, and do my morning ritual. And that's like, I just snuggle in there. I get my little cup of coffee. I do my meditation, read my book. I write my gratitudes. I write my affirmations. And then I work out. And that's kind of my favorite. That's like my little powwow place just to me for myself
yeah.
in the morning when it's super, super quiet.
That's awesome. I recently learned about your morning ritual and I'm obsessed with it. What's the book that you
yes.
learned that from?
So it's called Miracle Morning. I think it's relevant for any person out there. There's Miracle Morning books for people in real estate. There's Miracle Morning books for just, you know, stay-at-home moms. It is a great practice. And I think what's even more inspirational is the author who wrote it has had lots of trials and tribulations, but he has the most amazing outlook on life in general, which is full of positivity.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I want to wrap up with how should people connect with you if they're interested in learning more about getting a home loan or they just want to start the process and learn what they should be preparing? What's the best way to contact you?
Yeah, I think the easiest thing is just to call me or send me an email. I am happy to help people. I talk to people all day long and they might not be buying a home for 3 years, but I really feel like sort of my badge that I wear every day and why I do what I do is really to help people to sort of understand, like I said, this sort of massive iceberg. Mortgage financing, I think most people feel like it's this big iceberg and a lot of that iceberg that's under the water is unknown. And even that parts that you can see that's kind of constantly shifting and changing is a mystery. And my job, as I see it, is to make sure that people understand all components of it as relevant for them making a decision on buying a property or not.
Absolutely. So what's your phone number and email?
My phone number is 206-849-0357. And my email, this is a tough one. So if you want to email me, you should probably get a pen or a piece of paper. My name is STACIA.WEI, S as in Sam, HAAR. @homestreet.com.
Perfect. Thank you. Well, I want to thank you for being here. This has been amazing, and I really appreciate you giving us your insight into what people can do right now, whether they're buying a home, refinancing, or, you know, staying put, and what they can really do to prepare for their overall financial health, whether they're invested in real estate, planning to get invested, or already are.
Thank you, Brent. This has been awesome.
Thanks for having me. You too. Thanks for listening to the Close to Home podcast. Be sure to rate and review us on Apple or wherever you find this podcast. If you'd like to contact me, Brennan Klaus, about any of your real estate needs, you can find me at 206-899-9101 or at brennanklaus.com. That's BRENNENCLOUSE.com.